Today, we've been talking all about the history and influence of gangs like MS-13. And we've heard a number of reasons about why people join these gangs, like the sense of isolation and frustration that many young immigrants experience. But there's another motivator, money. Because behind all of the intimidation and violence of each gang is a business. And we wanted to understand that piece of the puzzle. So, at the height of the so-called child migrant crisis in 2014, producer Marlon Bishop went to Honduras to learn more about the business that powers Central American gangs. And that business is extortion, especially extortion of taxi and bus drivers. Here's Marlon Bishop with the story.
To talk about the business behind MS-13, we have to start at a bus station. A bus station in Tegucigalpa, the capital of Honduras. In Tegucigalpa, buses are privately owned. So if you want to start a bus company, you just have to buy a bus, find a route that people want to take, and congratulations, you are now a bus company. It's a pretty straightforward business. You pay your driver, pay for gas, collect fares from the passengers. But there's this one cost you wouldn't expect. Every once in a while, when your bus is stopped at an intersection, a kid will come up to the bus, knock on the window, and hand the driver a cell phone.
Viene un niño, te deja un teléfono, y a rato te cae la llamada ahí.
The owner of a bus company explained it to me, but we won't be using his name because of who is on the other end of that phone call. The voice on the phone says, "Hi, I'm calling from such and such a gang, and if you want to keep driving this route, you have to pay us a certain amount of money, or else." This is known as paying your rent.
Renta, así le llamamos nosotros.
These days, the bus owner has 5 different gangs extorting him, and this has become a totally normal thing for him.
Pagarle 500 a la 18.
Every week, he collects money from all his drivers, puts it into envelopes neatly marked with the names of each gang, and he sends a trusted worker to hand him the cash. It's as routine as paying an energy bill. Except the difference is, in this case, all you get in return for your money is not getting killed. This is how gangs in Honduras make most of their money, not from drugs or prostitution or anything like that. The name of the game is extortion. That's the economic machine that keeps the gangs alive. Now, shaking down bus drivers might seem like a small-time hustle, but it adds up to a lot of money. Altogether, there's probably a few million dollars coming out of working people's paychecks every month in Tegucigalpa and going into the pockets of gang members, money that is desperately needed. But the question is, how did Honduras become a place where a bus owner has to pay extortion to 5 gangs every week? While I was in Honduras, I met a guy who was there from the beginning, an ex-gang member. He had me meet him at this bakery and led me up 4 flights of stairs in this empty building. I guess so he could talk where nobody would hear him. About 20 years ago, he joined MS-13.
Era la MS.
Or as it's known in Honduras, la MS.
Pero inicialmente, me paraba en una esquina y
okay, so it's the 90s and gangs are still a relatively new thing in Honduras. The ex-gang member I spoke to and his friends are like, we need to figure out how to make some money. So they stand on a street corner looking scary and say, hey, give me some money to the people in the neighborhood. He says he could stand on the corner between 5 and 7 in the evening and make 10 bucks, enough to buy some weed and a snack for after.
De 5 a 7, yo me ganaba 10 dólares y tenía mi consumo de droga.
He says the rationale behind extorting his neighbors was this. The streets, they're mine.
Las calles son mías.
So anyone who is using them, a guy walking down the street, a vendor, whoever, they're using something that's mine. So they have to rent them from me.
Yo se las alquilo.
In the next few years, MS-13 starts getting into more serious crimes. They're leaving the neighborhood and committing robberies, stealing cars, even kidnapping people and holding them for ransom. But soon, the government starts to push back, starts throwing gang members in jail as fast as they can. So you have this gang that's used to bringing in lots of money by roaming around, committing these crimes. Now the government is making that harder.
Okay, nosotros no nos vamos a arriesgar.
But then somebody in the gang has this brilliant insight. You don't have to go around robbing and stealing. You can stay put in your neighborhood and the money will come to you. It will literally come rolling down your block on wheels. You can start extorting the bus companies.
¿A quién le cobramos la renta?
The crazy thing is, if you talk to gang members about it, they talk like guys running a bank or something.
Es un mecanismo.
He says it was an easy mechanism for reducing risk and increasing profits.
Mejor ingreso.
And it worked. MS-13 was making good money this way and keeping its members out of jail. But if you're running a successful business for long enough, somebody is going to come along and break up your monopoly. And in the next few years, lots of other gangs get into the same business. You even start getting these freelance extorters, people who aren't affiliated with any gang at all. They just go through the phone book, threatening random people in the hopes they'll scare somebody into giving them money.
Y eso complica completamente.
And just like that, no more monopoly. And that made things more complicated.
Porque ya no hay un monopolio.
By the mid-2000s, lots of gangs were trying to break into the extortion business. But before a gang can get away with charging extortion, it has to prove that it is a legitimately scary gang. It has to make good on its threats sometimes. You could say it has to advertise. I visited a guy who experienced this firsthand. Like the other people in this story, he asked us not to use his name to protect his safety.
¿Eso es tu casa?
Sí.
I visited this person at a cinder block house up in the hills of Tegucigalpa. We sat at his kitchen table, and he told me his story. For 28 years, he drove a taxi. But not a taxi in the sense we mean here in New York City. In Tegucigalpa, taxis drive regular routes and pick up passengers along the way. You can think of it like a tiny bus. One day last year, the taxi driver says he was driving his route when the gangs came for him. You'll hear a translation here.
Primero me llegaron a dejar un teléfono. Yo no lo quise agarrar.
First, they tried to leave a cell phone with me. I didn't want to take it, but this girl gave it to me.
Me lo puso y me... Nah, me. Hablamos de parte de la mafia, me.
I put it to my ear, and they said, we're calling from La Mafia.
La Mafia, translation, the Mafia, is a relatively new gang in Tegucigalpa.
And I said, no, I don't have anything to talk to you about. And boom, I threw the phone back at the girl.
His thinking was, I already pay extortion to all of these gangs. If I don't give these new guys a chance to talk to me, they can't extort me. Then a week goes by.
It's like 1 in the afternoon, I was parking my car, and when I looked in the mirror to look behind me to see if there was another car coming, I saw this tough-looking guy coming towards me.
Miro que se me hinca un malviviente y me pone la pistola en la cabeza.
He puts the gun to my head.
The gun misfired twice.
Cuando yo siento me tiro del carro.
I threw myself out of the car and I ran after the guy. He slipped into the market. And I didn't want to follow him after that.
The next day, he couldn't bring himself to get back into his cab. For a long time after the botched shooting, he didn't even leave his house. And even now, more than a year later, he's still clearly on edge.
There's no law anymore. There's no respect for anybody. It's going to get to the point where it's like the Wild West. If you want somebody to respect your rights, you have to walk around with a gun in your hand.
Just a week after the taxi driver's near miss, one of his coworkers on the same route was gunned down. And this happens all the time. In 2014, 174 transportation workers, bus drivers, taxi drivers, were murdered. The year after that, the violence continued. In 2015, two massacres left 15 drivers dead in less than 12 hours. And it's not just murders. When Los Chirizos, one of the newer gangs, got started, they decided they needed to stand out. So they started hijacking buses and setting them on fire, once or twice with a driver inside the bus. In 2016, at least 30 buses were torched in Tegucigalpa. You might think that killing the people that pay you every week isn't such a good business move, but it actually ends up working in the gang's favor sometimes. That's because the scarier you are, the more you can get away with charging in extortion money. This is probably a good place to mention that it's not just the bus and taxi drivers being extorted these days. It's the women in the market selling clothes, the auto shops, everybody you can think of. There are reports of even lawyers and politicians being extorted. It's no surprise that this is a major drag on the economy. The Tegucigalpa Chamber of Commerce estimates that 18,000 businesses have closed in Honduras because of extortion. I spoke to another taxi driver, a younger guy in his 20s, who also says he stopped working because of extortion.
Yo por eso me retiré de los taxis por eso, porque
I have
yo tengo
kids,
hijos
and no, I don't want to die and leave them alone, he says, matter-of-factly. It's just too dangerous.
El trabajo es demasiado peligroso.
Sí, es más peligroso.
And there is a whole nation of people like this taxi driver, people who aren't contributing to the economy because of extortion. They actually made some arrests while I was in town. They were having a press conference, and I decided to go. A government PR lady stood up in front of the reporters and read a long press release.
Fuerza Nacional Antiextorsión sigue dando respuesta a la ciudadanía y este día dos equipos se han trasladado en dos puntos diferentes de la ciudad.
Police wearing ski masks hauled out a few people in handcuffs, and they did not look like gang kingpins. There was a 15-year-old boy, a 19-year-old woman. They looked more like scared kids. These were basically low-level employees who picked up envelopes of cash for the gangs. The former taxi driver I spoke with who almost got shot, he says these kinds of press conferences are on TV all the time these days.
Que la policía que dice que agarra este, que agarra al otro, que agarra al otro, no.
He says the police always say that they got this guy or they got that guy, but it's just a facade to give hope to the people that something is going to change. But that's impossible, he adds.
Que imposible.
Que va a ser bien difícil que lo resuelva las autoridades.
This is the ex-gang member we heard from earlier, and he doesn't buy it either. He says that the police are missing the point entirely, which is the total lack of opportunities for young people from rough neighborhoods. Since he left MS-13, he works to try and prevent young people from falling into the gang life. But he says it's hard, because in many cases, the gang is the only employer in town. He says you see it all the time. A whole family will be able to put food on the table because of the kid who got involved with the gang. The family might lie to themselves, pretend they don't know where the money came from, because they don't want to see their child as a criminal. But at the same time, they rely on him and the money the gang brings in. On my last day in Tegucigalpa, I went to the opening of a new bus station. It was part of a government push to make the buses safer. It has walls and an exit guarded by a man with a very large weapon. A few hundred members of the transport industry were there. There were speeches and a polite audience. The bus owner we heard from before, he was there. He said the new safe bus station is a nice idea, but he guarantees that by Monday, the gang members will be inside the gates.
Pero te acredito que el día lunes, después de este feriado, ya están los mareros aquí.
And on Wednesday, like he does every Wednesday, he'll slip some bills into neatly marked envelopes and pay his rent.
Our thanks to Marlon Bishop for reporting that story. And that story was produced in partnership with Round Earth Media and with help from reporter Germán Andino.